splendor of the King, both in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Age to age he stands, knees. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me.
Pastor Mike Hope is having problems with her audio, so she might not be able to join us. She's restarting and stuff.
Aww.
You're muted, Pastor.
Thank you. And when I unmute everyone, it doesn't unmute me, but that's weird. So could everybody hear the music okay?
Yep.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Zoom said they were doing some things this week, so I didn't know if it was going to affect the streaming. So that's good. Well, Junior, looks like you're there, but I think you're probably working. So just know that we love you, and we're glad you joined us. So let's go ahead and start with some prayer. We've been praying for the workers and for everyone who's being affected by this coronavirus. But actually, Roger sent me a letter that and is a kind of a proclamation that was on his heart about repentance. And so I included that in our prayer. Let me go ahead and switch here from exit full screen, then I can see everything. Hold on. Here we go.
It's not showing me. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Hope. We can't see you, but we can hear you.
That's good enough.
As long as you can hear us, baby, I'm so glad you're here.
That's what matters. All right.
The enemy is messing with her computer.
Here we go.
She's just been messing with me, period.
I don't know why this does this.
Hi, Cameron.
Hi, Hopi.
Hang on. Sorry, I'm in technical difficulties here. I don't know why it does that.
Because it's Palm Sunday and the enemy doesn't want us gathering.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
It's not the beginning.
Hey, Cindy, you're looking beautiful as always.
Okay. Now I should be able to do it. I don't know why it's... It's I'll have to work on a technical difficulty. Sorry, worked on it last week.
What you training?
Hi, Kizzy.
You have something?
My mom loves you.
Yes. Okay.
Hey, Hoopy, we got you. Can you hear us still, too?
Yes.
Okay. Can everyone see our prayer needs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we have a daughter who's a healthcare worker, and she's actually going to be starting this week full-time being a nurse manager at a hospital in the emergency department. And so they're going to be dealing hands-on directly. I've watched some videos of doctors all around the world, and they're just in tears. They're pretty much at the full mercy of this virus. And they're doing everything they can, trying all the different measures that are, you know, included in things to try to stop this virus and to have people have recovery. What's that?
Can we look at the people?
Oh, it's hard to look at people and share. We can't look.
We can do it.
Okay. Anyway, they can see us. So
I can't see
she
them.
Wants to see you. She wants to see you. I got to work on getting it so we have a split screen. So, oh,
that'd be good.
Yeah, but so there's you know, a great need in their hearts. You know, I watched a video. I was going to try to have it for us today, but I didn't have time to do it. Where there were nurses that were gathering on helipads and praying and just crying out to God. And you know, it's definitely a time that individuals are looking to someone other than themselves, because they realize that this is beyond their own abilities, experiences, and power. And so we want to definitely pray for the healthcare workers. Yes, sure.
Mm-hmm. What I wanted to say is, like Mike said, Melissa's right in the midst. She was working at Toppenish, and now she's in Pasco working at Lourdes. But three of her co-workers, one is her best friend, all have tested positive. for COVID, and Melissa was working hand in hand with all three of them, and God is still sparing her. And so we're so grateful and we're so thankful. But there are people out there that are really dealing with this. It is truly, I mean, when you see it happening before your very eyes and it's so close to home, it really puts a different light on it than it would if you're just, you know, removed from it. So Clara is Melissa's best friend, and she has been sick since a week ago yesterday. So maybe we could even mention Clara in our prayers. That would be great.
Amen. Well, go ahead and pray.
Father, we just come to you right now, Lord, thanking you that you made a way that we can still get together and we can still love on one another and we can still pray for one another. And God, this first need that we've brought before you, God, the healthcare workers, God, you love them more than we do. You care for them more than we do. And our hearts are so burdened for them. So God, I just pray for your miraculous touch on their lives. Father, we lift Claire to you, praying her body would be healed and whole, God. Father, I pray that you would touch each healthcare worker, not just in their body, God, but in their spirit. Let them feel you. Let them know that they're not alone, that you're with them and you care for them, and that there is God Almighty, the one that saved the world, that is watching out for them. And Father, we just pray for all of these to be encouraged in their hearts, God, Father, and that you would just care over them, put a protective hedge around each one. Touch their hearts, their lives, their families, keep them safe. Just be with them, Jesus. And Father, help them to feel encouraged today in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord, we do pray for all the individuals who are on the front lines, including the police and the military who are having to deal with this virus, Lord. And we just pray for protection for them as well, safety, especially, Lord, for Tim as he may be called into some of this. Lord, we pray a supernatural covering over him. And we just ask, Father, that you would just continue to be the hedge of protection, Lord, that you are. And yes, and allow those who look to you, Lord, to find, especially to find favor, Lord, and to find your strength during this time. Thank you. Let's see what the next prayer request is. I won't worry about bringing it up on the screen. That way it'll... Individuals infected with the virus and their families. Yes. I'm getting back here. I can see you guys. So would anybody want to pray for the individuals who are infected or and their families? Vicki? Okay, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift those who are infected, Heavenly Father. Lord, we have seen miraculous healings. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to miraculously heal those, Lord, and bring knowledge to the doctors and the nurses to bring your healing to these people, Heavenly Father, Lord. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray for that peace in their bodies, and we pray Amen. For peace in their spirits. And Lord, we pray for their families who are walking through this with them, Heavenly Father, Lord, that they too will stay safe and that they are praying for and lifting their family member who is sick up to you as well, Lord, that they just all come together before you, Lord, and we just all lift the sick before you, Lord, for your healing, Lord, and we just thank you for this.
Yes.
The government.
Yeah. Let's see. Jesse, will you pray for government, the leadership, and for wisdom and for safety for them?
Okay. Am I muted?
No, you're not muted. You're good.
I'm not muted.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray for our leaders.
Yes, God.
We pray, Lord, for you to give them divine guidance.
Yes, God.
To lead us through this crisis. Leaders around the world, whether they're local leaders or state leaders or leaders of nations, Lord, give them divine guidance. Let your spirit, Lord, fill them, fill their hearts with love and compassion for their people. And let your spirit give them the wisdom that they need, Lord Jesus, and not to be puffed up, but to lead us through this and to give us what we need through you. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And then, Roger, I'm going to ask if you would pray for repentance for our nation and that the Lord's will would be accomplished in this crisis.
Yes, Father, we just come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father God, the whole earth right now has been shaken by your hand, but it's because of your great love for everybody that resides on the earth. Father God, we pray right now that that shaking would cause a cry that would come up out of them that they even never knew that they ever had before, but that cry would lead them to repentance and cry out to their Creator, even if they don't know Jesus Christ, but they would come to know him through this whole pandemic. And Lord, we just thank you for what's happening right now, because we need to bear in mind that God's patience means salvation, and we declare that all over the earth right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to be praying for Nancy right now. I got the pre-approval. But Nancy and Eric had a surprise blessing, and God saw fit that that blessing would be his in heaven instead. And so we're going to pray over Nancy right now. So if all of you will just agree with us as we pray for her, Father. Nancy, God, and Eric and the children, Lord. Mother, even began to describe the feelings. Pain even began to describe the feelings. But God, you know them. You are acquainted with them. You are very aware of them. So, Father, we lift our precious Nancy to you right now, yes, praying, Lord. God, that you would fill the void, that you would, the hollowness that's inside her would be filled with the Spirit of the living God.
Yes.
Father, that from the ashes, life will come, God. From the pain, your presence, Lord God, would be even greater, God.
Yes.
Father, I pray for my girl. I just want to wrap my arms around her and just love on her. And I just pray for comfort that only you can give, God. Peace that only you can give, God. Peace that we can't even begin to describe. Let it just be in her, God. Father, just be with her. Hold her in your precious care. Let her know, God, that you are in control and that you've gone before her, and that the steps she takes, she does not take them. She takes them with you and with us. And let her heart be, let her heart be encouraged by that, God. Father, we just pray for encouragement for her spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Okay, I'm going to mute everyone temporarily here. There we go. And if you at some time want to share, if we're on the PowerPoint, just let us know, and you just unmute your mic, and you can also, there's also a way to raise your hand if you want to. So, but we're all family here, so just speak up if it's something's on your heart. So today we're going to be talking about. We'll go forward. Hello. I'm getting mad. There we go. The Lord is seeking. I guess right down there is where it's at, actually. The Lord is seeking. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, we have a verse that we'll get to in a minute. But I was reading Jesus Calling this week, and that verse came up. And as it does a lot of times, I just start pondering that verse and thinking about, you know, the situation that we're in. But then I also remembered the reference that it came from. And I thought it was a fitting story for us to realize that it's easy to get to the place where we get lazy, lackadaisical, almost kind of put it on the back burner of our desire for our heart to stay fully and perfect and complete before the Lord. And so let's go ahead and take a look at, first of all, 2 Chronicles 14:2 through 6. Go ahead and read, babe.
And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and the high places and broke down the pillars and cut down Asherim and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to keep the law and the commandments.
So in just these first three verses that we're reading, Asa was doing things similar to what Hezekiah did, similar to what the great Josiah did. And so Asa, as a king of Judah, was doing amazing things. He was basically saying, no, we're going to turn away from the way that my dad led us, and we're going to lead the people back to the Lord. So he had a heart for the Lord. There's actually one point where it says that his heart was turned completely towards the Lord. And go ahead and read the next verse here, babe.
He also took out all of the cities of Judah, the high places, and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under him. He built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace.
So this was a time that Judah experienced great rest and prosperity. Other countries weren't coming in and invading them. And it was for many years. This environment was happening in Judah. At one point, an army from Ethiopia and I think Libya came to invade them. They had 1 million soldiers, and they ended up having chariots, and I mean, they totally outnumbered Asa and his army, which was 300,000 armed troops from Judah, and then another 100,000 bow and arrow fighters from Benjamin, which made up pretty much the southern kingdom. I don't want to get into the northern and the divided kingdom, but these were the good, usually the good kings of it, of the Jewish people, Israeli people. But getting back to what we're talking about here is that these were times that Asa was doing things, and he brought the entire situation of this army in front of the Lord and said, we can't face them with the number that we have, and we need your help. And so the Lord came in and fought for them, and they were able to conquer the 1 million army, and they were able to plunder them with less men and less equipment. And so Asa knew how to trust in the Lord. He knew how to have his heart wholly committed to God. So let's go ahead and read now in 16. This is in the 36th year of his reign. So go ahead. Okay.
In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, mm-hmm. that he might permit no one to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord in the king's house and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, there is a covenant between me and you, as there was between my father and your father. Behold, I'm sending to you silver and gold. Go, break your covenant with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me. And Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Mam, and all the store cities of
Naphtali.
And when Baasha heard of it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. The king of Asa...
Then King Asa,
sorry, took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this, for from now on you will have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in the stocks in prison, for he was in a rage with him because of this. And Asa inflicted cruelties upon the people at the same time. The acts of Asa, from the first to the last, are written in the book of Kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet, and his disease became severe. Yet even in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but sought help from physicians.
So here we have Asa, who is basically someone who has been relying on the Lord, trusting the Lord, having all of Israel or Judah seek the Lord, have them, you know, leave their idols, leave their pagan worship and worship God for many years. But in the later years of his life, which a lot of times happens to us, the later years of our life, we start to take things for granted. And one of the things that unfortunately Asa took for granted was his relationship with the Lord, I believe. To the place when King Baasha, who was the king of Israel, which is the other 10 tribes of the 12 tribes of Jacob, they were in the north. They were coming and they were building up basically a city that was going to stop goods from coming in to King Asa and to Judah, and was going to basically starve them out, and or at least to manipulate what they would get. They would say, well, they can send this in, but they can't send that in. And so Asa started becoming, you know, concerned, worried, probably, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, you know, we're going to be in a world of hurt here pretty soon. And so he told the king of Syria to come because of the relationship that his father, who was not a good king, had with him, have him come and basically protect him instead of the Lord. And so we see here in verse 8 that the Lord is saying, verse 7, that Hanani, the seer came. He's someone that the Lord sent as a prophet to Asa, and saying, because you relied on the king of Syria and did not rely on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. And were not the Ethiopians, as those 1 million army that God's referring to, were they not huge and with many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he gave them into your hands. So this is the key verse that I want us to focus on. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless or complete, whole it could be, toward him. And then he had done foolishly in this, and that from now on they were going to have wars. And Asa became very angry with the seer. So he starts the kick the dog routine, because this seer brought bad news and he was mad at the Lord. He's going to take it out on this seer. So he puts him in prison. And then
see the people, please.
Oh, she wants to see the people.
Because I want to say something here.
Oh, she wants to say something. She wants to see your eyes.
How many of us have had a word for somebody that we felt came straight from God? Like we prayed and we spoke to them and we said to them what we felt God was saying to us, to have them reject us. Here's Asa. He's a seer. He sees things in the supernatural, and the king does not receive him.
Hanani,
not Asa. Asa doesn't receive Hanani.
Yeah.
He doesn't receive him. He doesn't receive this word. And how many times in our lives, I feel this so big right now. How many times in our lives do we allow the rejection of other people to stop God's moving in our own lives? like Ken and I had the opportunity here to say, well, I know what I heard from God, and I don't care that you're putting me in stocks. It's not going to change the fact that I'm the Lord's. Or he could have said, boy, did I hear God wrong? Was that the Lord? Maybe that wasn't the Lord. And then begin to question. This is a real fine line in the church, I believe, today. I mean, it's even been in the church for years where people have stopped the flow of the move of God in others' lives by not receiving words. And we have to be very careful that we understand the difference. When it is flesh, when someone is saying, no, that's just flesh talking, or no, that is the hand of God, but I'm still mad at you. You know, I've done that. Vicky, I spoke to Vicky several times, and Vicky didn't like what I had to say. She let me know she did not like what I had to say. She had no problem saying, I don't like what you're telling me. But it was God. I felt it strongly in my heart. And she knew it was God, even though at the time she didn't want to receive it. Right, Vicky? Yeah. So I'm just saying is, and what I want to, why I want to say this is because we allow our purpose in God, sometimes the plans of God, to be stopped in our lives because we take the rejection or the acceptance of a word from someone else as whether or not we're hearing from God or not. Does that all make sense to you guys? We have to be very careful when we hear God and we know God is speaking, even if it's not received, to be very careful that we don't question the God in our hearts and or to question it if that's what you feel like God wants you to do. But we have to be very careful that we don't let that stop the hand of God moving in our lives. Because Hannah and I did not let that happen. He's like, no, I'm a seer. I know what God's telling me. But how many times do we back off and say, oh, maybe I didn't hear that right. Or maybe that wasn't the Lord. Or, oh boy, did I just make a big mistake? And then we back off. Just a thought.
That's a deep thought.
It sure is.
Does anyone have anything there to share? Okay, we'll go back.
If it lines up with the Word of God, I think then we can accept that it's true.
Yeah.
But also times, there have been times where we might say something to somebody and we know that it's coming from the Lord. And then we begin to doubt what we had said to somebody, even ourselves. Mm-hmm. But in time, God will prove that that was really him speaking through us to believe what he's saying to somebody else so that they would believe what God is saying also.
Correct.
And there are times that we give words or that we think we have a word or we've heard something from the Lord, and it has been basically based upon our belief system at the time. And you know, we do need to be sensitive to the time that happens, and mm-hmm. then we're able to be corrected and say, okay, I missed it that time, and then again, not let that stop us, the Lord working in us,
right? You
know, because we make a mistake,
knowing that we're all in a process,
exactly,
and being able to forgive each one in their where they are in their state of process.
Well, yeah, and I just want to add real quick too that in both sides, the person sharing, I think it's important that we understand as we're giving words to people that we feel God has laid on our heart, that we have an understanding that there's a relationship element that gives us authority in people's lives. And so, you know, like Gay get sharing to Vicky, that's coming from a place of her heart, and ultimately, like, nobody's going to, you know, care how much you know, even if it's coming from God, unless they know how much you care. And so knowing that, like, it doesn't matter if you are hearing the audible voice of God for somebody's life, right. If you're not doing it in love, then it's going to be white noise to anybody and everybody. And to the other side of it, people hearing, getting words from those, each of us have the ability to hear from the Lord, and the Lord will use anything and anybody to speak to you. And so it may be somebody you don't want to receive from. So we have to be careful as well that we're not turning down the voice of God because it's coming from a source that we don't like. And so, you know, and that's where community comes into play as well, making sure that we're bouncing these things that we're getting from the Lord, from other people in community, and saying, hey, so-and-so, Gaylene told me this. I didn't like what she said, but, you know, you hear from the Lord, so what do you think? And allowing community to speak into those words as well.
Yeah, and to go along with that, sometimes the timing of the person giving the word could be a little bit ahead of actually where the individual in their life is ready to even have an understanding of that word.
Right.
And so that's where, like you said, there has to be relationship to the place where we know someone's heart, we trust right. them, you know, we know that they're not, you know, they're not just being, you know, mean to us or trying to usurp authority over us, or what it would be that people could sometimes think, and know that, you know, it's going to be, I think it's all going to, you know, be able to be revealed over that
over
time.
Of course, time. Yeah. Right, right. Yeah,
I will say that one of the times Gay brought something to my attention, I was in the mood, didn't want to hear it, because I was sunk in my own depression and my own emotional state that I was in, and that was years ago. And then the second time I came to her, specifically knowing she was going to say what I didn't want her to say, but she said it anyway. And so like Eric said, the relationship, I went to her knowing she wasn't going to pull any punches with me. And so it takes, we're talking about, it's a process. So sometimes when we think somebody's rejected what we've said to them, we need to give them time to absorb it sometimes, and not just think they didn't hear me.
Right.
You know, it's, because I needed time to absorb it. And you know, I have had people say things to me that I'm like, I am not listening to that because of the way it came across to me and the feeling that I got that it wasn't lining up with God's word, you know, and prayed about it. And so one of the things that we need to do is that when we go and approach people, is that we do need to seriously pray about, okay, Lord, this is what you want me to say, so let me know and show me how to say it so they can better receive it, even if they don't want to hear it at the time.
Right. And the thing is back then, a prophet like that, you know, they operated from a different perspective and a different way of understanding.
I mean, from left field.
They had like neon lights, and when they were communicated to, I mean, they knew that they knew. I mean, it's, you know, I've never operated fully in that understanding. I guess some prophets can like this, like they just read this billboard and they know what's going on. But obviously that individual who came, Hananiah, to King Asa, I don't know if he was necessarily doing it out of love in that context.
Right.
But it's different. We're now after the cross. And right. we're now in the spirit of Christ. And we're now in the law of love.
Right.
And so that's why a lot of individuals who say, oh, I'm a prophet, and they try to act like a prophet from the Old Testament, they aren't realizing that they're not operating out of a New Testament prophet. And that means someone that should carry love. Because we know that if you have all prophecy and all wisdom, but don't have love, it's not going to count as anything.
Clanging cymbals.
We've been learning that lately. Yeah. So.
What if they completely shut you out?
Go ahead. Did you unmute?
Yeah. What if they completely shut you out?
Well, Hopi, okay.
You know, Hope, at that point, I think what you have to do is you have to pray over that word. You have to pray over that word that from it, what God wants them to get from it.
Because I had a friend for over 30 years. We had been friends. And the first time, when I first started going back to church, the first time I mentioned God to her, she's like, if you want to talk about God, you can get out of my house.
Wow.
And she, after that, stopped taking my phone calls, wouldn't even answer her door when I come to her house or anything. To this day, she refuses to speak to me.
So at that point, that's when you just have to pray, I believe. I remember I had a really good friend, but before she became my really good friend, she came to a conference at our church, and I felt that God had given me a word for her. And I was wearing a name tag, because you remember how Pastor Ken liked name tags for everybody when we would do conferences. And I went up to her in the altar area and said, I believe that God's given me a word for you. And she did not receive me. She did not receive the word. She looked at my name tag. She looked at me and turned away from me. She did not take that word in at all. But what I knew for a fact was what I sensed in my heart. And later she told me that that word came to fruition. And a lot of times people will reject something because of fear, because of something that's happened in their past, because of their station in life. She may, at that time, my friend may have felt really above me and I was beneath her or something. I don't know. And it didn't matter to me. I had to do what was right in my heart before God and leave the result of that word up to God and her. So you hope me to leave the results up to God and your friend and pray for her. Continue to pray for her, even after all this time. Just continue to pray for her, because a lot of times when people are that adamant about rejection of God, it's because God is dealing with them inside, and they don't want to recognize it, and they don't want to receive it in any way.
Or they've been hurt. Could be that someone was hurt in a quote unquote church setting, and that they don't want to hear anything about God because of the way that they were treated by God representatives. That could be it. Yes. But I will say
she
this.
She told me that she read the Bible and she found that God was nothing but evil.
Yeah, well, that's where it talks about that spiritual things are foolishness to a mind that has not been reborn into the illumination of the Spirit of Christ. And so reading the Bible, not being a Christian, you're going to read about, you know, God telling the Israelites to kill these Syrians and to throw them off cliffs and all these things. If you're starting at the very beginning, you're going to say, this God is like, you know, a tyrant, and not realizing that the whole goal of the Old Testament is to bring us to the New Testament, and that's Christ.
Right.
And that's to redeem mankind. And that all of that was motivated out of love for mankind, for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and he did everything that he needed to do to create an environment that Christ could step into, that Jesus could be born into and live out as our Savior, and eventually die as the one who buys us back so that we could be God's, you know, children again. Mm-hmm. But I'll say this to you, Hope, and then we'll get going on. But where you are going into that situation with God back in your heart, you got to remember that you're like an aroma. And to those, you know, a smell, an incense. And to those that are not in Christ, it says they're perishing, it's an aroma of death, and they don't want to be around you. To those who are in Christ, it's the aroma of life. Or to those that are seeking the Lord, it's aroma of life. And so that's part of the unfortunately, part of the rejection that we suffer as Christians, because we're not received and accepted as you know, representatives of Christ, because we represent eternal life. And to those who don't have eternal life, it smells like death. Okay? All right.
Sorry.
No worries. Okay, I don't know if we'll get through all this, but we'll see. So and then Asa, the king, ends up getting sick, and he gets a disease. Come on, go ahead. A disease in his feet at his 39th year of king, as king. And again, what does he do? He does not turn towards the Lord. He turns towards physicians. And I'm not against physicians. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against the medical industry or the medical institution. But I'm here to tell you that before and or while we're turning towards physicians, especially in something like this, we need to make sure that we're also turning towards the Lord. Mm-hmm. So that everything that the physicians do for us and try to help us with is multiplied in power. Years ago, I heard a testimony of a hospital that actually had like one floor, or maybe it's half of the floor. They were all pretty serious patients. And to test, I think it must have been a place of faith, to test the power of prayer. They had one section of the hospital that they prayed for every day. And they prayed for those patients. They had others praying for them. The other patients were not prayed for. And at the end of the time that the prayer was done, the ones that they had been praying for recovered faster, were better recovered, stronger. Some of them, you know, had gained back to more than 100% of how they were before their illness. And so prayer does change things. And so we need to make sure that we're including God in all of our difficulties. Jeremiah 5:1 says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Look and take note. Search her squares to see if you can find a man, one who does justice and seeks truth, that I may pardon her. So what we see here is that we see a heart of the prophet or a heart of the Lord being communicated to the prophet to look all through Jerusalem, because during the time of Jeremiah, if you guys know his book, he's basically declaring judgment. The time has run out. Israel has no more chances. And so God's saying, look and see if you see someone whose heart is turned towards me. And then he says, and if you do, then I may pardon her. Mm-hmm. You find someone, Jeremiah, other than yourself, I may pardon her. Reminds me of when Genesis, we have Abraham praying for the Sodom and Gomorrah, and his cousin Lot is there, and he's, or maybe his nephew, and he's asking the Lord, you know, well, if there's 50 men, 50. If there's 40 men, if there's 30 men, 20 men, and every time, you know, he's like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry to ask you again, but finally gets down to 10. And obviously there wasn't 10, but in that we see that even Lot and his family were delivered through that intercession. Yes, Junior, we can. We'll make sure we pray for them at the end. So it's here. Let's go ahead and we'll stop for a moment. It's pretty important. Go ahead and talk, Junior, and say what's going on.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. So recently my aunt had come into contact with what's going on. And her son, who lives with her, was at my mom's house shortly within that time. And my aunt tested positive for it. Now my mom's afraid she might have it because she's just afraid. And she just asked me if you guys would be able to lift her up in prayer.
Most definitely. Yes, we will. Father, right now, we just come before your throne of grace, Lord, and we pray that you would just touch Ruby right now, Lord, with your hand of mercy, Lord.
Yes, God.
Lord, we pray that you would just allow her to sense the peace of God that passes all understanding and let it guard her heart and her mind. Lord, we know that fear is not of you. And Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I pray that she would cry out to you, Lord, and receive that power.
Yes, God.
Receive your love, and that with it would come a sound mind, that she would not be afraid, and that she would be able to trust in you, and knowing that her life is in your hands. We pray right now for anyone else, Lord, that's come in contact with this family, Lord, that you would just allow your peace to guard and watch them.
Yes.
And we just ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So does anyone have, I had a whole bunch of other scriptures. Anything else to share? I know that there is an attitude in the air, a spirit moving in the hearts of people that, as I was sharing with the men on Wednesday night, about 38% now of all Americans are feeling that this virus is something that God has had allowed or brought to cause people to come back to him, and that there is an opportunity for the Spirit of the Lord to come in and touch hearts and lives and cause them to become, you know, fully committed to him. One thing Roger's concerned with, and you can speak for yourself, Roger, is that during 9/11, there was a lot of people who were really serious with God. And yet over time, when everything got better again, they all kind of went back to doing their own thing. And Roger wants to see a repentance, a changing of mind and heart of individuals right. that actually brings them to a place where they're not just, you know, repenting for a short period of time, but it's a repentance and a change that brings forth fruit and fruit that will remain, as John the Baptist said, that their repentance would produce something that wouldn't just be a flash in the pan.
If I might add too, Mike, that this pandemic, as we call it, it's not what we go through it. It's what we become because of it and as a result of it. And you know, it's God's will that none should perish, but all would come to repentance. And repentance is a prerequisite for revival. Repentance is a prerequisite for salvation. Repent and be saved. Repent and be converted. And if we want revival in this country or in this world upon the earth, repentance and crying out to God is the first step in bringing forth revival into the land.
Right. And in Asa's case, obviously, God was ready for him to repent. God was wanting him to turn.
Absolutely. So
there was a time that other kings were challenged, and even Ahab. And Ahab, who was a wicked king, would go, oh, God, you know, he changed his mind. And God would, and, you know, God had a lot more on Ahab than he did on Asa. But he would, in the repentance, he would forgive even Ahab and deliver him out of what he was going through at the time. So.
And doesn't that just speak to all of our hearts, how much God wants us?
Amen.
I mean, truly, that he's willing to take us.
Yes.
Even in times like that, when we're turning because we're turning with fear, but he's looking at us, he's gazing upon us, he is drawing to us on relationship. We turn in fear, but he has always been about relationship. And we need to make sure that we understand that it doesn't matter if you're going to church, not going to church, following the Ten Commandments, and I say that loosely, or it doesn't matter all of the statistics that you're doing. What matters is where your heart is. And where your heart is, what does it say?
Your treasure's
there. Your treasure is there. And so
where your treasure is, your heart is.
Your
there.
Heart is. And so you're not going to want to do all those things. Like that's Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, delight yourself in the Lord. Well, if you're delighting in the Lord and not in yourself, you're going to take on the delights that he has for your life, even though you went to him originally to get something out of it. You know, hey, I want $1 million or whatever, but he wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a relationship with the Most High God that loves you so much that he would die for you. And sometimes I think we forget that all of this stems from his heart of relationship, no matter where our heart is stemming from.
Amen.
And I believe, too, that even this whole process, we need to be looking forward as much as we can by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Great expectations is what the result of this thing, the ending result of this thing is actually going to be and who we are going to become as a result of it. That's very, very important to this whole process that we're all going through.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to go ahead and end with this verse because I think it speaks of the New Testament heart of the Father towards us in his seeking. So go ahead and read that, hon.
John 4:21-23. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews."
Oops, sorry. Got ahead there.
"But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him."
The Father the Father is seeking such people to worship him.
Yes.
So in the Old Testament, we have God looking for people whose hearts are fully committed to him, and that was in the covenant of the law. But now what God is looking for is those that will worship him out of a relationship, and out of that comes a law of love where we, as in Romans 12:1, we live our lives like a holy sacrifice. That is our reasonable service of worship. It is our worship to live for God. It's not necessarily, you know, coming to church on Sunday. It's not about singing a worship song. It's about how do we live every single day. Mm-hmm. That is our true worship to God. And Father's seeking us, you know, mm-hmm. as we've been discovering more and more that we have common union with God, and that when we take communion, it's just an experience in the physical that represents something that's already true, that he lives in us and we live in him. But the one problem of that is how much are we focused on that reality that he is in us, that he lives in us, that the Holy Spirit, as we said last week, dwells in us, as you said, Cameron, that it's that God chose us to be his tabernacle and the building that he would inhabit. Each and every one of us, he chooses to inhabit with the same kind of holiness as he did the very holy of holies. Mm-hmm. And so that's who we are, and that's whose we are. And so out of that, that's him seeking us. That's him desiring us. Mm-hmm. But we still have to respond. We still have to say, Lord, I don't know about all this stuff going on. I don't know about, you know, my family who's being exposed to COVID-19 every single day. But I know that my life is in your hands, so I trust that my children's life are in your hands, mm-hmm. and my family's life are in your hands, and even my friends and close, dear ones, that their lives are in your hands. And so we continue to commit our ways to him, unlike Asa. We commit our ways to him, and I believe that pleases him. Because he wants to be there for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, what father, natural father, doesn't want to be there for their kids? I mean, unless they're evil. Everybody wants to be there for their kids. They want to help them out. They want to do what they can. That's our heavenly yes. father. I mean, it says that, you know, a sparrow doesn't fall from the ground to the ground except that God knows about. Mm-hmm. He knows, you know, the hair on our head. He knows all of those things. All of you can see how many hairs are on my head. I know.
I was talking with a woman yesterday.
Go ahead.
I was talking with a woman yesterday, and because she's doing these masks and donating them. I mean, it's like almost all day long. That's all she's doing. And
right.
we were talking, and we were talking about that. Because we're trying to speak positively into this situation about how we are seeing people are actually learning and getting back to the basics of caring for people in your community, caring for each other, and loving on each other. My response to that was yes, because God, when you think about it, he didn't bring this on us to condemn us. He's like a parent who wants his toddler's attention. He's been loving, and he's been kind, and he's been graceful, and he's been merciful, and still us as children are not paying attention to our father calling us. Mm-hmm. So now he's got his firm voice on saying, child, children, listen to me, mm-hmm. see me. He will do what it takes to get our attention. He's not condemning us. I don't see this as a condemnation. I see this as him telling us he wants our attention. We need to pay attention. He's coming, you know, and that he's here.
Eric has something.
Yeah, go ahead, Eric.
I just want to be careful, and you know, I don't want to cause a debate at all, but I want to make sure that we understand that the Lord is loving, okay? That is, like they said, he yes. wants a relationship with us. So although I believe that God can ultimately use COVID to get his children into the kingdom, I think he's has better strategy than to bring a sickness to do that.
Right.
And I know that's not what you're saying at all, but I want to make sure that we understand that there are better ways that God can get his children into the kingdom than mm-hmm. bringing tragedy into our lives.
Right.
As a parent, I think we all know, like, I would never go into the other room and say, hey guys, I'm going to just cause chaos in here so then you could see me. Like, I would rather go in there with love and say, hey, even if you are, you know, running away from me, I'm still going to pursue you with love. And so I think right now what the world needs is for the church, us, to be the church, to be the real representation of Jesus. If we want to see people repent and then stay in that repentant state where they have changed their lives, then we need to make sure that our lives are representing Jesus. Why do we see people coming into the church and then turning? It's because what they're coming into isn't actually an authentic representation of Jesus, and that, not this church, of course, because this church is perfect. But but the thing about it is that we have to make sure that what's happening in our lives, yes, let's bring people into repentance. Let's bring people into a place where they are turning their faces towards Jesus in love. But the only way to keep them there, one, praying for them, but two, is making sure that our lives are representing Jesus to the fullest so they can understand that, this is what it looks like to be loved like by Jesus and to love Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, and the scripture that talks about it raining on the just and the unjust, yeah, God made the rain, but it's not like he made every single storm to bring havoc to your life, but he will use that storm.
Right, that's what I was saying.
And rain back then also was a blessing because they went through so many droughts. Exactly. I mean, they didn't have irrigation like we do, so rain to them could mean
a precious commodity.
A blessing on the just and the unjust, right. If you want to look at it from a different
point of view. But God, I agree with Eric. God, this COVID-19 is one of many, I believe, I'm going to go out there on a limb, one of many plagues that will come against the world to draw them to Jesus. He will use it. That doesn't mean he caused it. That doesn't mean he purposed in his heart, but he will allow the moving of whatever needs to happen in our hearts to draw us to him. He desires us to be drawn to him. And yes, he'll use whatever he needs to.
And the bottom line is, whatever he does allow, God is motivated by love. He is
exactly
love. And so even always, though we can't see his love sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, just as our kids can't see our love sometimes when we're correcting them, like, I hate you, you know, but we know what we're doing. We know that we're doing something for the better of them. Yeah, I'm right there with Eric. I don't believe that this is necessarily, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, just sent by God, because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has basically, for whatever reason, chosen to do things our own way. And whether this is, you know, a man-made created virus, which, you know
they're
talking about, or whether it's them messing with nature in certain ways that is causing stuff, I don't know. But I do know that the Lord is seeking those who will turn to him right now. He is seeking. He is looking. He's always looking. He's drawing at the same time. We know that we can't even come unless he first draws us. So there has to be a drawing by him. And so I believe that this is an opportunity for us to be drawn closer. Like Eric said, if we're not remaining in him in such a way that love is our motivation and love is our character and nature, then, you know, what comes out of our mouth may not be a representative of the Lord. And yet others in the future, like Hopi said, you know, someone could just read the Bible where they can read us and get a bad representation of who God is, because he is love. Amen.
Amen. I wanted to kind of go back to what we were talking about earlier about hearing from the Lord, and then, like Mike was saying, like doubt coming in and being like, well, did I hear that? Or even if it's the receiver saying, well, did they hear from the Lord? That, you know, he's a God of confirmation. And so just when you get those feelings of doubt, you know, just saying, Lord, like, is this from you? He will not hesitate to let you know again and to confirm his word in your heart or in their heart. And so, and I also wanted to tell Hopi that just because outward appearances may seem that this person is shutting you out, you have planted a seed somewhere in their heart, and it might be a tiny seed, but the word says that, you know, his word doesn't return void. So this person may be hearing messages from other people, and it takes, you know, little bits at a time to just, they're watering that seed that you planted. And so just like Mike was saying, keep praying.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yeah, amen.
Anybody else?
I just want to say that this is not an hour of defeat, but an hour for victory.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen to that.
Yeah, and again, what the enemy has meant for evil here, God will make good. Especially in those whose lives are open to him working. As we know that, you know, he's making everything work together for our good because we love him, because we're called according to his purpose. And so what we want to have happen during this time is for more of those to realize that they have been called according to his purpose, that he's made them and fashioned them in his image, and he wants them to be fully who he created them to be. So that's our desire. That's our goal. Our goal isn't to try to necessarily convert somebody to the way that we're thinking. Our goal is to awaken them to the idea that they have a God who loves them, and that he has a, not just a divine plan for his life, for their life, but he has a divine plan for their entire eternity.
Yeah.
That not just in this moment, but in their entire eternity, he has a marvelous plan, and it's about unfolding who he is in them. And that's experienced through love.
Yeah.
Amen. That's
true. Can they share this link so people can get
better now?
Can they what?
People share. Like, can Junior give Ruby the link to get onto this?
It will be, how soon do you think something's going to be on the web, Jess?
No, I mean for next week for them to join.
Oh, yeah, they can share the link. You can share the link with anybody. We can handle up to 100 people. I don't know how that would work.
So next week is Easter, and I'm just saying if some of you have friends that don't go to church and they want to, you know, join in, feel free to give them the link that you're using to get on here so that they can at least attend church on Easter Sunday.
Right. And next week we will be doing communion. So everybody, even if you have water and a piece of bread, don't worry. But if you want to get grape juice, you can. And we'll just individually at our own house have
take communion.
Our elements, and we'll take communion together. And we'll experience that fellowship in the spirit, not necessarily face to face, but as Gay said, isn't this technology amazing that we have this ability to do this?
It's preferred to wear pants, yeah, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah, we watched the news thing that had one of
John Krasinski
was from
good
The
news.
Office.
Some good
it's
news.
Called Good yeah. News, some which good we news. Highly recommend it, but when he ended it and he stood up, he had his suit and tie on, but he had on his pajama pants. It was pretty funny.
Or the woman was in a meeting and her husband walked behind her just in his underwear.
Oh my God, yeah.
And she is telling him, go away.
And he slams into the door.
The wall and bounces back.
Yeah, but that's funny. Oh my goodness. Hi, Tara. Oh, you guys, the Lord is so good. We love you guys so much.
And again, if you have any needs or, you know, any prayer requests or, you know, prayer requests, you can definitely get hold of Tara and send those through and make sure that they're on a prayer chain that goes out so that there can be needs that are prayed for. But also, if there is something that you need personally, you know, we're just a phone call away. And, most of us being quarantined. I know, Eric. Are you driving every day? Or are you part of this group that's
stay at home
in strike or
No, I'm actually, they actually laid us off a few weeks ago and before this all started happening. And
oh, they so did?
Yeah, I've just been home since we're transitioning. I'm taking the rest of the time off.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. When I heard about that, I thought of you. I said, oh, I wonder what Eric's doing now. So